This is Penelope Lombard, and you're listening to, nay, experiencing Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Black Rock Desert in Nevada.
Yes, that's right, because tonight's topic is Burning Man 2, Still Smoldering.
Yes, it does sound like something that should, or should have an even better Burning Man 2, The Revenge.
And our guest is Penelope Lombard. Now, she told the first story about Burning Man, and so this is the second time. This time, I understand she's going to be a little more clear-headed.
Well, when you just get back from Burning Man, you are under the influence of vapors for about 3 weeks.
She had a vapor coming off her, now that I remember. No, but she had only been back like 2 days, and so she was really fresh off the playa,
right,
as it were.
And so, and she was out of the loop with the way, people in civilization form sentences.
She had just ridden her sparkle pony into town.
Right.
And she was just spilling her guts. And it was a good episode. I'll say that, honest. Let me tell you something. Joe Slepsky, our producer, he helps us track the shows. He helps us see where the numbers fall here at Storyworthy. And Penelope's episode of Burning Man is our highest rated episode. Not highest rated, but the highest, what do you say,
most
listen
downloaded.
To.
Are you telling me that it beat even Handjob in the Holy Land?
Handjob in the Holy Land
is
number two. And then we get into everything about sex. Threesome, cock blocked, all those episodes,
sure,
they rate high. So I think from now on it should be, no matter what, like Burning Man 2, it should be called Burning Penis Man.
It should be Burning Man 2,
Still
Hot
Smoldering Penis.
Or something. Yes. Now, you know what? Not penis, because that would only get us gay men. It's got to have vagina or breast in it.
I don't know about that, Hans.
Oh, really? I went too
racist.
Far. I'm sorry.
I think it
smoldering
might have been racist.
Penis is fine.
All right.
But God forbid there's a smoldering breast somewhere.
Goodness. Before we get going, I did want to mention that if you would like to support our show, and of course you do, wouldn't you? Because they're free stories coming at you every week from Hollywood's most creative talents. And as you know, Hannes, I think you know, but the folks out there, they may or may not know, we would like to do this for what they call payment.
Right. Yeah, see, there's this thing called show business.
Right, the business
now,
part.
Now, there's also show fun.
No, we're
kind
not
of
in show,
show
fun.
Fun here.
We're trying to make our business fun.
Right,
but
exactly.
But the business model is more show business, which involves money. There's accounts receivables and accounts payable. We've only been doing accounts payable recently.
Right, what we would like is to actually, by the way, if anyone's listening out there and you're a giant corporation, we are willing to sell out. We will turn our back on all of our friends. Yeah. We will sell out the central concept of the show. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We just want money. We're whores.
Would you paint things on your body, Hannes, for advertising purposes?
I have painted things on my body right now. There's a story where the wheel of truth somewhere on my body.
Oh,
and
my
you
gosh.
Don't want to know where
not
it is.
Right. The point is, folks, if you want to support the show, head on over to storyworthypodcast.com and click through our amazon.com banner. Because when you do that, we get a little cut of whatever you buy. We don't care what you buy, but it does help our show. Right, Hannes?
That's right. Doesn't help the state of California, but fuck them.
All right. Let me say this about Burning Man. I know this. It's a week-long annual event. It's held in the Black Rock Desert, like you said, where we are now in northern Nevada. It's about 3 hours from the Reno airport and about 7 hours from the San Francisco
airport.
That
is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm just throwing out this information. I'm not exactly sure. I know this. The event always begins on the last Monday in August, and then it ends on the first Monday in September. So it always coincides with Labor Day. And it takes its name from the ritual burning of a large wooden effigy that is held on Saturday evening, during the weekend of Burning Man. That's how they get to that. So there's a huge man on fire. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. It's much like West Hollywood every Saturday night.
The first time Penelope did her story about Burning Man, Hannes, we got so many letters at Storyworthy. We really got more letters than any other episode we've ever done about people telling us that we got it wrong, that we weren't saying the way
it
was.
Serious enough. We weren't taking it seriously.
Yeah, we weren't taking it seriously enough. I said the word barter, which is wrong. Nobody barters there.
Oh, I see.
So I messed that up.
Well, but what did they say was the right word? Oring?
Give? No. I think it's just giving. The point is Penelope was there, so she knows. And
a lot
so,
of complaining hippies with internet access
Think that's what we came up against. But you know what? It still is a very popular episode. And now tonight, Penelope has more. So I think we should get right to her, don't you?
I think we should, because she is just looking at us right now like, would you just shut up? And that's what most people do when they see us in person.
All right, wherever you are, folks, stay around, because Penelope Lombard is on her way here.
Storyworthy tweets. So join us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook.
Hi, this is Chris Mancini. You're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We're still in the Black Rock Desert. I've been told that I should be saying Nevada, not Nevada. So much like the Burning Man people, people who are native to Nevada have been complaining. They're throwing rocks at me out here in the desert. So it's Nevada, Burning Rock, Black Face, Nevada.
Something like that. All right, you guys, Penelope Lombard, she's here right now. She is a writer. First and foremost, Hannes, this girl is a writer. She's written for Joan Rivers for Fashion Police on E! And she was a writer on the Soup spinoff called The Dish. And now as a stand-up comic, Penelope has been seen on Comedy Central, NBC, and all over the place, clubs and colleges throughout the country. She's also starred in the FX pilot Filthy Liars, and she's voiced lots of characters for King of the Hill. And she must be our fifth or sixth guest.
Without King of the Hill, we would have no guests
at all. Yeah, right? Toby Huss.
Right.
And
Brittany Murphy.
No. Oh, Connors. That's...
Oh, too much?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find her at PenelopeLombard.com. Wherever you are, please put your hands together for Penelope Lombard.
By last summer, I was so deeply depressed. I'd wake up in the middle of the night to cry. Then I'd fall asleep and wake up in the morning and cry again. To quickly sum up the previous 3 years, both my dad and mom kept almost dying. Also, my union efforts had gotten me blacklisted, and it turned out that all the emotion and complexity I was sure lived beneath my boyfriend's blank exterior were just my imagination. And we split up, and this time, he wouldn't let me talk him into just sex. I felt isolated and afraid. Suddenly, I decided to go to Burning Man. Now, a lot of people might have decided to go to therapy. But I had a depression so dark, it couldn't be coddled or reasoned with. I needed it punched out of me so there would be no me at all for at least a moment. Burning Man. That moment came for me 4 or 5 days into my week-long visit. But backing up just a bit. There was a couple living behind my yurt who had a lot of drugs. And to clarify, all the people anywhere near my yurt had a lot of drugs. But these people were the most fun. The couple was like a pair of super friendly drug reps, only instead of working for Johnson & Johnson or Eli Lilly, they worked for freedom and goodness. They weren't exactly scientists, but I think they may have had a laboratory somewhere. Drugs weren't the only thing they offered me. These people were hosty, which I love. They admired my yurt and asked me about it. They gave me advice on some fucking shit-mazing light displays to see and made sure I got a turkey burger, a popsicle, or proper lights on my bike so I wouldn't get killed in an accident. One night, they invited me out, and frankly, I needed an invite because I'm a bit formal, especially when you compare me to the population at Burning Man, some of whom are pantsless. My friends offered me shroom tea, and I'd never had any, so I was scared. But they assured me it would be chill, and they'd be by my side the entire night. 20 minutes later, they were gone. I knew it was because, in the dark, all dirty, glow-lit hippie types look the same, including me. Plus, I was with a friend of theirs who liked listening to me talk while we rode around the desert. Now, he wasn't a gay man, which was one thing besides indoor plumbing that I had been craving during the week. But he was fun to hang out with. And again, just like a gay man, he thought I was fun. So it was all good. A couple days later, I ran into my new friends and they were smoking something. Now, to clarify, they were always smoking something, but this was a couple days later. They offered me the new stuff. The shroom tea had been great. I just ended up feeling happy. In fact, I would have even thought that the tea had had no effect, but having been so acutely aware of my depression in recent times, the blissful mood was remarkable. The drug they were smoking now was called DMT or MDT, whatever. I'm not into research. I don't know what it was called. They assured me that, like shroom tea, it also would just make me feel really good. No big whoop. They even had a totally incoherent woman share her positive review. She reminded me of Janice Dickinson, only not a former model, and she slurred her words more. Of course, it's not my place to judge her. I mean, some people are kind of incoherent and slurry. The only example I can think of right now is me talking to a dude I like, but still, it happens. Plus, maybe she just recently had brain surgery. You can't ask somebody that, because if they didn't, it'll be awkward. But who am I to judge? Also, honestly, I didn't want to judge because I'm tired of thinking and worrying and being conscious and saying no, and did I mention thinking? Anyway, they had me sit in a chair for this one. In hindsight, both Janice Dickinson's approval and the need to be seated should have raised a flag for me. The woman from the couple coached me for this drug. Oh, hey, maybe having a drug coach is a bad sign also. After a couple big inhales, her face, which was very close to mine, began to flash into a black and white film negative, just like one of those super cheap effects in a bad Lifetime movie. You know, the one about a totally innocent teenage girl from Oklahoma who succumbs to peer pressure, tries drugs, then dies of an overdose, leaving her strong but heartsick mother to fight the battle for all other mothers who shouldn't ever know the pain of losing a child. It was just like that. The flashes I was experiencing alarmed me, but I couldn't believe how accurate bad cable movies had been in depicting the drug experience. Then suddenly, I was inside my mind and something really terrible happened. See, I've always assumed that if I explored my deeper self and traveled into my mind, I'd experience an incredible, deep, vast new territory, innovation, and this unique universe. But as I looked around the formerly off-limits, unexplored recesses of my own brain, I was horrified to see, like, a simplistic grid. It wasn't like that J-Lo movie where she wanders around a psycho's mind navigating the complex labyrinth of visual creative oddities. It was like the opening credits of American Idol. Like 1978 in there. It was like, call Kelly Wurstler. Somebody needs to decorate this shit. It was embarrassing. The box-lit dance floor in Saturday Night Fever was more intriguing than my neural synapses. John Travolta wouldn't be caught dead dancing in my brain chasms, and I mean John Travolta today. Desperate for attention, John Travolta would be like, I'll pass. John Stamos wouldn't eat yogurt there. That's how uncool it was. Then at one end of this stage-like grid that was shaped into a V, a neon-lit dude with a guitar beckoned me to join him. I was like, who let that cheese ball in here? And I thought this with the mind that I still had left, while the mind I was in was doing what it could to force me to abandon that mind in favor of this new one that was like a sports bar married a rave mind. Now, knowing he might want me to do shots or karaoke, I resisted the guitar dude with everything I had. Plus, I still had the strength to feel totally embarrassed that people in actual reality at Burning Man were watching me, and I knew I looked sloppy at best. I had to get to my yurt so I wouldn't look foolish. The woman coaching me was begging me to let go and calm down. She was reminding me I'd feel good, but I knew she was wrong, because that could only be true if I still existed. I tried to get up and get to my yurt, but then I went all blank and I hit the ground. I think people laughed at me. When I came to, I realized I had collapsed on top of a small pup tent, crushing it. People were standing over me, and I realized perhaps I had failed at my goal to not embarrass myself. I found this slightly funny, although painful emotionally and physically, as it was a hard fall. If there is a God, that God did at least one nice thing for me, in that I had collapsed on the tent of a totally full-on, no-ifs-about-it gay man. He was loud, caustically sarcastic, emotional, gracious, supportive, and I felt loved and understood, as well as humiliated. Although he couldn't have cared less about his tent, he was so nice, I gave him a wig as an apology gift, and it meant a lot to him. Now, I'd never heard of a gay man not having his own wigs, but like the rest of Burning Man, I was learning about new ways of being. Over the next couple days, I heard a bunch of conversations about my incident, because in a tent community, discussions are not private. I'd be in my yurt using a funnel to pee into a bottle, and I'd hear my neighbors chatting. Earlier in the week, I'd listen to these same dudes sharing the time they dropped 9 hits of LSD by accident, but it was totally fine. Now I'd hear things like, "You have to be able to let go. Like Penelope, she just needs to learn how to let shit go." Or, "Penelope is a really good reminder to me because she couldn't let go of control." I'd have laid them out right there, because they had a few shortcomings, and I could have noted them. But the thing is, I was aware they were right. After Burning Man, my depression was not as bad. It definitely was a remarkable difference. It did get punched out of me. Although, I'm not saying I'm perfect, because recently I went to this. It wasn't a rave. But regardless, I wore Spanx. and I'm just saying, when you're dancing, they were the Spanx that come up right, under bust, and they kept rolling down, and then I have to yank them up, and I was like, oh, what is wrong with me? But I'm just glad those dudes weren't there, because they would have known.
Wow. I learned a new word, underbust. Never knew that.
Underbust, yeah.
I never heard that either.
Oh, yeah, underbust. Yeah.
Underbust? And the
it's like
underbust
bras,
actually,
corsets.
And that is the measurement for the first number of the bra size, the underbust.
Yes.
Like 36, 35, 34. Uh-huh, I think 34, 36, 38. That's
24.
Like, something like that.
78. Yeah.
Seriously, you're in your yurt and you hear those people talking smack about you.
Oh,
while
you know what?
Honestly,
you're peeing
into a funnel, which is
no.
Double.
They were, I was embarrassed. I did not. I felt a little defensive, but no, I did not feel like...
They were talking smack.
No, they were not being unkind at all. They weren't.
And you're clearly the only Penelope, though.
For sure the only Penelope.
You were embarrassed just to be the example of the person who couldn't let go.
Yeah, I was just embarrassed to be me, as per usual.
Yeah. No. Did they think that you made up the name Penelope? Because they make up their names up there for the week.
Well, people have a playa name.
Right,
a playa name. You say, oh, hi. And they'd say, hi, I'm Skylaser.
this is like a strip club.
Well.
Everybody's got a fake name.
Well, yeah. It really
is. I'm a cleaner.
There's other ways it's like a strip club.
Yeah.
But, they'd say, or this one guy I love that I know, Russian Pound Cake. I love that one.
Wow, Russian Pound Cake.
Yeah, he's great. And there's a cool dude named Piney Fresh. And they're fun names. And yes, I did find that I would say, hi, I'm Penelope. And they'd be like, oh, Penelope. And it was sort of Like, they thought maybe that was a made-up name.
Yeah. Right, like, you just yeah. said, I'll be named Twinkle Penelope, like a
yeah,
little fairy.
Yeah, it stood out. It stood out.
You know what? My
name
is so fucked up and nobody knows it that I would still, instead of like, oh, what a unique name you've made up, I would say, hi, my name is Hannes. People, and even in Burning Man, they go, what?
Hummus? Hummus?
Huh? What?
Hannes?
Honus?
Hannes. That would be
what?
A good one.
Yeah. Hines?
I don't
Hummus?
Know. But I would have liked to have a different name, but I didn't have much of an understanding of that going in, and I thought maybe I could be Boss Hog.
That's right. You were Boss Hog.
Well, I wasn't, though. Nobody called me Boss Hog.
Well, you need to do that in real life. I'm going to call you Boss Hog from now on.
Now, I'm going to be DJ Boss Hog.
Is there a bedtime? DJ Spank. Is there a bedtime at on the playa, as it were? Do people go to bed ever?
Yeah, people do whatever they want.
I know, but if you is you can always hear things.
It's not
going
like a
on.
Whistle blows and they go, everyone in bed.
I don't. Do they play taps?
Penelope, get in bed.
No, but Boss Hog, Penelope, whatever you go by.
Put yeah. Boss Hog
get
in the barn.
Get your ass in bed, girl.
But my question is like,
no, people sleep.
Okay, but you said you're in your yurt. You can always hear people around you. Is there at times a very quiet time of day?
I was surprised at how quiet it did get in the area I was in because it was really close in to a lot of stuff, but yeah.
Do you keep in touch with anybody you met there?
Not all trips are loud, Christine.
Do you keep yeah. in touch with anybody you met there?
Yes, a little bit, but I also met some really nice people in this area afterwards that go to Burning Man. And one woman, in fact, that I had met there. I didn't know I'd run into her. When I met her, I wandered by her camp and they were just doing this pipe cleaner craft. And I liked her so much. It was the kind of thing where I stayed a few hours. I didn't think I'd see her again, but then I ran into her here.
In North Hollywood or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's
yeah,
very
she was
nice.
On her
yeah.
cell phone saying,
oh, no,
listen,
no, no.
listen, this contract needs to be signed today.
No,
I ran,
my
no,
agent.
It was at a function, like a Burning Man function, because they have a decompression
right.
party thing and, that and I worked on, that I got to volunteer for. And
is that a weekend event, or is that just
it
a
was
party?
A night, an overnight thing.
So will you go back to Burning Man?
Well, but yes, I think I will. I'd like to work on building something.
Less out of pipe cleaners? Or
no, I... Yeah. Well... Maybe. I'm not ruling out pipe cleaners. But
there's
I think
a lot of pipe cleaners there. That's what I'm saying.
But to prepare for Burning Man, you do have to start thinking about it in what month, because you have to reserve your thing, you have to get your thing, and you have to right. save some money, right? Because well, you're going to take a week off work.
Yes. I was out of work.
Okay.
Yay, so that worked out great.
Well,
yeah, really. We didn't get the, you were in a deep depression, so you went out. Did it help you come out of your depression?
Yeah, it did. It did help me.
Yeah. Because you realize that it's nicer to live with electricity and no job than in the middle of nowhere with no electricity. Is that
I mean, it? You'll appreciate your indoor plumbing
yeah.
at a level you weren't at previously.
Yes.
But
yes.
No, just because it was newness, it was exciting, and it was different. And also, I did build my own yurt and just have to...
Be very self-reliant.
I had to be self-reliant and...
Get along with others.
Capable. Yes, but don't I get along with others anyway, Christine?
Well, no, I'm just saying, in the situation of Burning Man, okay, like in the first episode when you were on, I made the mistake of saying that people barter there.
Yeah, and they don't at all.
And I understand that now, and I've been corrected yeah. on several
yeah,
times.
Yeah, you were saying that we've gotten a lot of people who are like, we got the terminology wrong, or we
right.
weren't serious
well,
enough.
Well, the thing is that
people
it's
don't
based...
know about it, but people right. don't know.
Right, and the idea... They have principles involved that I really believe in, and I think people strive to meet up to them. And they have a gifting community, so every group that comes, or on an individual basis, but people contribute and offer something to the community. And so it's just something they offer. It's not for something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what could you work on, do you think? I mean, you're saying you want to build something. Build what?
Well, I have some ideas.
Pitch it, man.
Yeah,
let's just
I know.
Pitch it. Let's
I
get
know.
Your community going, because isn't that the idea, that you want to get people in your community?
I know. I really would like to build an art car.
It sounds like Farmville.
No, this is for real, man. This is for real.
Yeah. I would like to build an art car at some point. I definitely need a team of people
art
to
car?
Do that. Yes.
So it's like
a
like Dennis Woodruff
yeah.
or Angeline, get those guys
no.
in their cars.
No.
No. Okay, I'm messing up. Go ahead, tell me.
I don't know. I'm not ruling them out. I really wanted to build a robot for this year. And when I was young, 2XL meant a lot to me. Did you have 2XL? Okay, Joe had 2XL. And he's
no idea
funny.
What fucking
I really
talking
thought
about.
We were going to have a... I thought I was going to be friends with robots by this time. And robots meant a lot to me. Hmm. And I used to, in reruns, watch Lost in Space. It was my favorite show. Yeah. And that robot was... robots are very true and
loyal.
They're loyal.
Warning, Will Robinson. Warning.
Yeah, but they have like little funny personalities as well. And I loved 2XL. And I would just... I would very much like to build a robot.
Mm-hmm. Now what
that's giant and crushes people.
What is an
sure,
art
of course.
Car?
Well, that's what all
what
robots
is an
do.
Art car?
Have we learned nothing?
An art car or a mutant vehicle, which there's a lot of them at Burning Man, and it's really worth it to look up on YouTube at some of the videos because
a
they're outstanding.
Vehicle.
Yes. And but they're also in parades around the country, and it's
is it like a robot? I mean, a robot car.
Well, it's
BattleBot.
It's a vehicle. Mm-hmm. That is refigured and designed, and it could be small. It could be like there was this one cat that and it sprayed and it did some fun.
Were you
things.
Smoking then?
Yeah, this was just an 8-foot cat. So this basically
no,
this
but
there
is are also so like we're, ships
there's a theme and, where people take vehicles and turn them into wacky cartoons.
I see.
Yeah, but it's like they can be small or they can be a huge party boat or you know a pirate ship or
so
giant shark. Or,
I think
oh, there was this octopus this last year that shot fire out of its tentacles.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
was Roger Moore anywhere
stuff.
Near here when
so,
this happened?
It's like a float. It's like a float parade with crazy cars.
Oh, Christine.
Okay, so I'm
messing worried
up.
You'll
I'm gonna
get
letters.
Letters
we're going to get letters.
It's a float.
It's like the Rose Parade.
Let me ask
it
you
It is like the Rose Parade.
It's
but
goodness,
it's
I get it. It's like you're bartering at the Rose Parade.
It's the Rose it's the called the hippies. Weed Parade. Yes, exactly.
Let me ask
see,
no.
What, no, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get a letter. We're going to get a letter. How old are we? We're going to get an email that says, you don't understand. Like, we're supposed to automatically realize that it's some sort of very, you know, counterculture thing to, like, dress your car up.
No.
But people don't do
well,
this.
Well, I will say this. 50,000 people a year do it. Up to 52,000 people
yeah,
a year
60.
Do it. It's always sold out. Let me ask you this. Having the good nature of Burning Man and that everybody comes with this open heart, it seems, anyway, do you have to lock your bicycle?
No. Well, I think people do lock their bicycles, but my feeling was that people might take it by accident. I really didn't feel like somebody would take my bike. And they have bikes there that you can borrow. But, I mean, it's I don't know if everybody comes with the same heart because everybody's going to be different. But there is an agreement about a way of being that
right.
I admire, especially for a group that big and that.
Well,
with that many different
that
groups in it. Yeah, it's kind of outstanding. But it's a lot the art, the visuals, and the outstanding ideas that people bring and work on and contribute.
It's very beautiful, and it obviously made an impact on you.
It did.
You're still
it
talking
did.
About it 6 months later.
Yeah, it
so
really
how about
did.
That? Hey, do you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Oh, I get so scared of this, but okay.
Can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game show where contestants spin the Storyworthy wheel of truth and tell a true 1-minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
Oh, Mom. My parents were my parents were kind of hippie-ish. And lenient, but also didn't ever think I was going to do anything bad. So I remember one time when I was about 12, maybe, or 10, I don't know, 11 or 12, I hid a bottle of wine in my nightgown drawer, which was not a good idea because my mother laundered, ironed, and folded, and returned my nightgowns to that drawer. So she found... She found the bottle of wine, and I came home from school. She said, I found this bottle of wine in your nightgown drawer, and I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. And then she said, and I was wondering if you'd like to have it with dinner.
Whoa, that is the coolest mom ever.
Yes.
How old were you?
I don't know, but 11 or 12.
How many nightgowns did you have that you had an entire drawer for?
That's a good question.
I remember having nightgowns. Now I have just like t-shirts. What do you wear to bed?
I guess I probably had some pajamas in there too.
What do you wear now to bed?
I kind of wear a yurt. Sweats. I either wear a t-shirt and boxers.
Right.
I mean, if it's really hot, I will go nude.
Boxers are convenient to pull your penis out and pee, right?
Yeah. If I need to whip my cock out there, I am.
Get the funnel and you're all set. I always sleep in the nude if possible because it's like my back gets hot. I know this is a very weird thing. For some reason, if I wear a shirt, my back, not my front, not my arms, not my head, my back gets crazy hot.
Do you wear underpants?
Sometimes I wear underpants. Only if I found them on the road, though. I won't wear my own. Actually, for hanging around
rule.
The house, Sherry just made me buy... I mean, she suggested I buy, which I mean, she made these sort of pajama long pants.
Yeah.
So they look, I look okay because I was wearing these like old,
you know.
Yeah. So I was wearing, no.
You were wearing like gym shorts.
Not gym shorts. Like the gym, long gym pants. You know what I mean? Like sweatpants.
Ever ready.
And they had just deteriorated to the point where she was like, I can't go on like this.
Every 2 or 3 years, I recommend that everybody go through your drawers, get rid of your underwear, get rid of your socks and your you know, your cozy clothes, as it were, and buy new cozy clothes.
New cozy clothes.
Ah, interesting.
I don't know, Christine.
Am I a dreamer?
I think that's a little radical.
Men don't throw away underwear until it... Men will just wear underwear until it dissolves.
To me, that's like you don't get the importance of the Velveteen Rabbit. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do you have any love for anything?
Hey, one time I read that Clint Eastwood had one of the things, I don't think it was his favorite thing, but one thing Clint Eastwood does is he wears a new pair of socks every day.
He also talks to chairs. case closed. Okay.
Well, I would like to wear new socks every day, although most days I don't wear socks, so my whole plan is falling apart.
Well, why don't you just start with wearing socks
and talking to tables.
Yeah.
See, there you go. All right, let me ask you this, Penelope. Are you still working on Uncle Gay and Aunt Bitter, My Kids Are Dicks?
Yes, we are. We're awaiting the revolution.
Status.
On this. Well, I don't know.
You've been blogging recently. I saw your recent blog about Les Mis.
Yeah.
You did not like Les Mis. Too much Miz.
Too much Miz.
Not enough jizz. I'm sorry, that's not
right.
I said. I just said that's a lot of Miz.
And you also said
song, I get it.
I dreamed a dream in days gone by. That one?
Yeah.
See, I haven't seen it yet, but
an hour and a half into the movie, you're like, I think I heard this song. Oh, yeah, I've been listening to it forever.
Yeah, did you like the movie that you didn't like the movie?
It had some really great performances.
Amazing
but it was,
performances.
It did. But it... Yeah,
I'm not
going to
say it again.
It was good. It's like
if only Tarantino had directed Les Mis, then we would have been somewhere.
Speaking of which, something that makes me feel good.
Did you like Django?
I didn't see
Django Unchained. It's very good.
I just don't like that DJ thing.
Oh, really? The Django.
Wow, really?
Good.
That's your objection.
Like that.
It's not the slavery. It's not the violence. It's the two consonants together.
Give D its respect.
I see.
Yeah.
Please.
I think what you're saying is that if a black guy is named Dwight, it's pronounced Dwight, and so why is it not pronounced the Django?
Yeah.
If he was in the NBA, it'd be the
Django.
Boy, you guys, there's a lot to think about. You guys, you can find Penelope at PenelopeLombard.com. That's convenient.
Yep.
All right, and I'd like to wrap it up. Let's wrap it up right now.
Sure, why not?
Let's thank Joe Slupsky. He's our producer of the show. He helps us out every darn week.
I love him.
Would also like to thank Joe. Really?
Oh, yeah, I love Joe and Jorge.
Oh, that's very good.
I'm iffy on you, too.
You know, their names both begin with D. You don't, they're silent.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
I'd also like to thank Jorge Reyes. He's our sound engineer. Woo-hoo. And on behalf of our storyteller, Penelope Lombard, and, of course, you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me. takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.